this, you might be wondering, why are we talking about a Baton Rouge election? Well, this is kind of this is interesting. Mm-hmm. Three propositions on the ballot for Saturday in Baton Rouge: one for the library, one for mosquito abatement. Oh my gosh, Baton Rouge!
Yeah,
and then another one on Council on Aging. Now these were up for renewal,
not new taxes.
Not new. These are up for renewal. And only 19% of voters showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Hughes, Shreveport political analyst on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Scott, first of all, good morning. Thank you. Why do we think only 19%? Why couldn't they get the voters out?
Well, several reasons. First of all, 19%, to be honest, in what's called an off-cycle election, this was the only thing on the ballot, taxes. That's not considered bad, sadly. We'd all like to see more voters. But that said, there was a few things going on in Baton Rouge, including an LSU football game with an early kickoff. And then there was also just this voters. A lot of people don't want to go vote against a library tax, but they don't want to vote for taxes.
But it was a renewal. Is this a failure on the Baton Rouge administration for not selling the point that we need these renewed?
The general consensus, and again, we've only had a day or two to post-analyze this. We haven't talked to a lot of folks, but it's generally viewed as either a vote of confidence on the mayor-president, brand-new mayor-president who's got elected, or his plan. That is correct, Mike. I think that's a fair analysis. It is worth noting that these weren't simply renewals. These have been renewed. They're 10-year taxes. These were renewals and rededications. And so in doing that, they were doing two things. They were renewing existing taxes, but according to my research, they also were raising the cap. And that is common for some governmental entities. I know we're getting into math here, but you may have a 3-mil tax years ago, and now you're only pulling 1.9 of it. They were authorizing going up to the full millage approved levels, even though over the years they had not taxed the full levels. And then the other part that was highly controversial is they were reauthorizing them under the name of the three entities that you outlined, libraries, mosquitoes, and aging. But then they were pulling a lot of the money out of those departments and moving them over to the general fund to fund EBR's operations. EBR is running a deficit and has debt, and that's what the mayor was concerned about, not these three entities.
Now, the mayor has said, Mayor Sid Edwards has said today he will outline a package of cuts, which will likely include layoffs and cuts to services. How drastic do you anticipate that will be?
If he follows through on what he said leading up to the election, it could be fairly drastic. We're talking about he had set upwards of 400 jobs. So Baton Rouge is not in Shreveport. So imagine the city. I'll be fair. Imagine the city of Shreveport announcing 300 job layoffs. 75% of that. That's probably what Baton Rouge is doing. Now, it is worth noting these were renewals, as Mike said, in a sense. So these funds still are going to be collected for a couple years, and many think the mayor may have a chance to come back one more time with a different proposal, and we'll see if he does that. But underlying all of this is a huge financial problem in the city of Baton Rouge, in Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge Parish, because it's a city parish form of government. And it's also being driven a lot, as we talked previously on the radio, with the St. George pressures. And so and it's worth noting there were two other taxes in EBR that got dragged down on Saturday as well. Mm-hmm. The Zachary school system failed, and a fire renewal tax for a fire district failed by 20 votes with over 22,000 cast.
Mm. So you're saying that it will be funded for another couple of years, so there won't be immediate cuts?
I think the current funding goes at least through 26. I think these would have started in 27, the renewal part of the tax.
Mm-hmm,
the moving the money would have started immediately. And I think that's what some people were upset about. So I think you'll see a combination. I think the mayor will come out, Sid will come out, and probably announce some layoffs. It's kind of hard to threaten and then not follow through. I know it sounds draconian, but in political terms, if there's no response to this, I think the mayor is going to really have been undermined. This is partly as a vote on the mayor and his administration. And so there's going to have to be some response to this, even if they come back with another plan. I'm told by people that live in Baton Rouge that the library fund is well funded. The library even may have excessive funds compared to some other library funds around the country. But if you're going to take half the mosquito funds and the Council of Aging funds, I think that's going to be a serious issue.
The library director, though, even came out this weekend and said they may have to cut back some programs that they do as a result. So they may not have as much money as some anticipate. Could that be an issue for Baton Rouge?
I think it's going to be an issue. And I forget the exact year, but a couple of years ago, Baton Rouge invested heavily in libraries. And many thought they may have overbuilt libraries. To be fair, they may have overbuilt libraries in an era when we were moving to more electronic, digital, et cetera. And they had some famous examples of some construction problems. So I'm not going to pretend I know the ins and outs of the library structure. I do think if you're talking 400 jobs there and you're going to see pain across a lot of departments, this is going to be a big political issue in Baton Rouge. And of course, one of the reasons that the mayor was trying to pull these dollars out of these parish-wide and these parish city departments to go to fund is they need police officers. They are woefully underpaying and woefully understaffed, and he's trying to increase the public security side. And the other problem is that didn't get fixed either. So now we're looking at robbing Peter to not pay Paul. It's sort of a bad example.
In the big scheme of things, looking down on it from your political crystal ball, is this a swinging of the pendulum back? People are a little bit frustrated with the Republicans. He's a Republican mayor, and they're saying, we're ticked with how y'all are running things from the president all the way on down, and we're not giving you any more money. Could that be part of this, too?
Well, I think the big answer is yes. I think what we're seeing in Baton Rouge, many in Baton Rouge that live there say the surprise is not this vote. The surprise was when Sid got elected. Some looked back and said that was sort of a shocking election that East Baton Rouge Parish, Baton Rouge, would elect a Republican mayor. It was little eyebrows went up on that. And now he's had about a year to be there. And many are questioning his leadership, that this was his first plan out. This actually wasn't his first plan. I think he did come, in fairness, almost immediately he came with a tax rededication renewal that got shot down. And this was plan B. So now he's going to be on to plan C. But yes, this is definitely viewed by the Baton Rouge voters as a minor vote of no confidence, but these votes were 52-48. They were very close, 51-49. But they're going to have long-term repercussions for both the mayor and the parish city. And it shows again the dynamic of that breakaway part, St. George, because they do vote in parish-wide elections, even though they're now their own city.
What message does this send to Shreveport leaders?
I think the message that this sends, and if you couple, we talked about a week ago with New Orleans. New Orleans did get $125 million loan from the bond commission they have to pay back. I think this sends a message that you really need to, A, be looking farther out. You just can't come to the voters quickly and say, do this, because the voters need a lot of confidence. There was no trust. That's the term you heard on all sides. There was no trust in this bond election. I think we saw Shreveport pass a large bond election a couple years ago after several failed bond elections because of the trust issue. And I think you need to build trust with your voters, but you need to be paying attention to these long-term issues. Because a lot of municipalities under the water have a lot of issues that are growing. Here in Shreveport, we can't hide. We have some big ones. We have water and sewer, and we have some structural problems. Recently, they announced some far-out problems with our pension plans, maybe 2040. But that's not that far out when you start looking at 10-year bond cycles.
It goes by fast.
Pay attention. Yes, sir.
Scott, thank you so much. We appreciate you jumping on with us this morning.
Oh, glad to be here. And I think I'll close with this here. And I think the immediate thing it says for Shreveport, for Bossier City, and for a lot of our entities is what we talked about last week. Maybe we're not as bad off as we think we are in some of these big structural issues. Baton Rouge and New Orleans have those. We're not laying anybody off this year. Shreveport just adopted its budget. Congratulations to them.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you, Scott. Have a good morning. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So Lane Kiffin did visit Baton Rouge.
No. His family.
His family.
Ex-wife and children.
Ex-wife?
I know. I guess she's got the kids. So he wanted the kids to see Baton Rouge, I guess. And so she wanted to see, you know, where they'll be living half the year. If they were, but they also visited Florida.
That, right, right.
So now I don't know Lane. There's rumors Lane Kiffin did visit too, but the visit yesterday or this weekend was Lane Kiffin's children with the ex-wife. That's the reports coming out of Baton Rouge. We all have heard the reports Nick Saban visited as well.
Right,
so
right.
Who knows what to believe these days?
Well, Ole Miss is pissed.
Yeah, they're like, you need to TT or get off the pot.
That's it. Mm-hmm. They've given him till November 28th.
Yeah, you need to decide.
Which is the Egg Bowl. Says, are you staying? Are you here? Or are you going?
Are you gone? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to move on.
We're going to move on if you ain't make your decision yet.
Right.
I'd be good with Lane Kiffin. I've told you that from jump.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
Well, obviously, I would too at this point, just because we...
I'd rather old Nicky Poo, but, Lane Kiffin would be a good one too. Now, the problem is what kids stay. The portal these days is like,
Which is... why Nick Saban said he doesn't want to coach college football anymore.
Well, I don't think he quite understands that people will come for you.
Yeah.
Kids will come to play for you. He needs to use that card a lot more than he thinks he can use it. And he ought to use it. Because kids will come to play for Nick Saban.
Sure.
I think they come to play for Kiffin, too. I may be wrong. But they came to play for Kelly. Didn't work out quite so well. So
I was texting with my buddies that, and then I heard a report yesterday. One of the national sports broadcasters said that Brian Kelly had lost his fire before he got to LSU. He was burned out at Notre Dame, and he only took the LSU job as a money grab.
Okay.
Said he spent more time on the golf course than he did meeting with coaches and players.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
That's not good at all.
And I'm like, I've gone from disappointed to, okay, I'm despising this guy now.
Yeah. I don't like it at all. That's not good at all. I hope we get somebody great. But, you know, the funny thing, and I can roll back in time when we were – looking for a replacement for Coach O, and I was thinking, who's going to be good enough? Who's going to be good enough? And then when the Brian Kelly name came up,
gosh.
I went,
well,
brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was too.
Brilliant. What a great choice.
And I kept holding out hope for till pretty much longer than anybody else, going,
yeah.
look at his success, blah, blah. But if he didn't care anymore, he was just there to cash the checks.
Think about it, Mike. He his agent, and he must have been geniuses. Because who signs a 10-year coaching contract these days?
Well, the ex-AD.
What a...
Who's host now at Texas A&M and LSU.
What a dumb alligator move.
Yup.
10 years. Good night.
And then after hearing that, I hope they don't pay him another nickel.
Yeah, I'm kind of like
just,
that. Ain't going to get out of it, though.
No, I guess not. Coming up, Ronnie Festivan, mayor of Vivian, joins us talking about the tragic events last weekend. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
What did you say? Louisiana residents love Chinese food more than Cajun food?
Yep. Yep.
According to whom?
Some
the
idiot.
The Egg Roll Society of America?
A Hello Millions. It's a social casino website. It must be a real niche organization. McCoy was working on this, and when I saw him put this picture up, it's of a bowl of Chinese noodles hovering over the French Quarter. I thought, this is brilliant. And it says, Louisiana residents in this survey say they prefer Chinese food to Cajun food or any other cuisine.
Any other cuisine?
Yes.
Barbecue.
Mexican. French. American.
Now, see, I'd have to say bull schnozzle, because I don't know a Southern woman that won't choose Mexican food over anything else anytime ever, including my wife.
If this said Mexican food, I'd say, okay, I buy it.
I would too.
I don't love it, but I buy it. But it says Chinese food?
Now, see, I love Chinese food.
I do too. I'm not knocking Chinese food. I bet you.
Right.
I bet you it is something to do with go orders. Because, you know, we do a lot of to-go orders from Chinese restaurants.
We were eating at Athena. Was it Athena? Aaron, we sat there and we were like, oh, my God, there goes another Uber driver. There goes another Uber Eats. Or there goes another. These delivery drivers were coming in.
Oh, it's everywhere now.
Yes.
Literally, I was with a friend when I was recuperating and... God bless her. She ordered Uber Eats because I wanted ice cream. She ordered a pint of ice cream from Uber Eats because neither one of us wanted to get up and get dressed. And that was the most expensive ice cream. That's another story. But
oh,
they will deliver anything.
You say that a couple years ago, I was at my daughter's and it was just she and I. We were watching a movie and she goes, I want some Blue Bell mint chocolate chip. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She goes on whatever it was, DoorDash, Uber, I don't know which one, ordered a half gallon.
Okay.
Charged for a half gallon, which ended up being like $30 when you charged. And
tip and all that, yep.
And the driver brought a pint.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would not be happy. And, you know, and I got to thank my friend paid for it.
Right.
I
got
to thank her. I mean,
yes.
I would have paid, but I'm like, dang, that was some pricey ice cream. But Chinese food is our favorite food in Louisiana. I'm with you. I'm calling.
Yeah.
Bull schnoggle on that one. I don't know. What on your Facebook page, let us know what your favorite food is. You'll see it right there at the top.
And we'll follow up on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vivian Mayer, Ronnie Festivan joining us next. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Vivian Mayer, Ronnie Festivan on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mike and McCarty.
Good morning, Mayor. This is a tough time for your town.
Yes, it is.
The candlelight vigil last night. Describe how that went.
Oh, it was great. We had a large crowd there and just had a tremendous outpouring. The family was there, had people to talk with the family. The family spoke. We had people that knew Mark real well, had either gone to school with him. We had his graduating class, many members of them there. And it was just really nice, really nice. And such an outpouring from the community to that family.
And just in case somebody hasn't heard, Officer Mark Brock was shot and killed over the weekend while issuing a warrant at a home. And he was 24 years old.
25, yeah.
25.
Yeah, 25.
Young man, very involved in the community. Is there any news on services yet, Vivian Mayer? Ronnie Festivan?
No, I have not been made aware of any services. I think those are still pending. As I know, we expect to know something here possibly early this week, maybe today or tomorrow, we're hoping.
Mayor, Vivian Police Force is not a large force. How many officers are on it? And tell us about Mark.
Well, we have about 11 police officers working on our police force. And Mark was just a great kid. He graduated from North Caddo High School and grew up. He was a Vivian boy. And he just dedicated, even his young life. He was involved in Little League athletics, everything, coached Little League ball. And he was involved at the school. He did volunteer coaching for the football team. And he was just into everything. I say he was just a typical local hometown young man and just enjoyed his life giving back to the community.
What can people that are reaching out to us, what can they do to help Mark's family?
Well, we have several organizations that are involved in things. The Vivian Chamber of Commerce would be a great place to start and everything. And then there are New Beginnings, Flower and Gift Shop in Vivian. They can also contact Missy Moore there. There are several organizations that are putting together different activities and things. There are fundraisers going on at this time that you can donate to. You just really need to reach out to the different groups up there in Vivian.
How did you hear about this Friday evening, Mayor? I can't even imagine getting that phone call.
Well, you're exactly right, Aaron. We're no different than small communities. You hear it almost every time. And that is, no one ever expects anything like this to happen or anything. Hang on just one second, please.
Okay.
We're talking with Vivian Mayor Ronnie Festivan, Mike and McCarty, the tragic loss of a Vivian police officer over the weekend.
Oh, so sad. Such a sad news. I assume you get the phone call from the police chief. How are you informed?
Well, I'm informed by one of the members of the police force, and we started from there. And like I say, you don't ever expect anything like this. The first thing you hear from small communities, of course, is we never expect anything like this to happen. To my knowledge, and I was born and raised in Vivian, and I don't know of any police officer that we have ever lost in the line of duty in the town of Vivian. Mm-hmm. And Vivian's been around for a long time. So that makes it even more tragic, but I also think there's a reality to that you just never know. You just do not know what can happen. And our police officers, we hear this all the time. They put on that uniform every morning, and they go out there to serve our town and to serve the local community. And, it's just so tragic when something like that comes up.
Well, and the suspect has been caught. Mm-hmm. And will be charged with second-degree murder.
Yes, sir. That's my understanding.
Mayor Ronnie Festivan, thank you so much for joining us, and our hearts and prayers are with you and the entire town of Vivian today.
Well, thank you so much for reaching out to
us. You bet.
Yes, sir. Thanks for talking with us. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KU.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KU.
No children and no casino. That's my kind of cruise.
Yeah, really.
Although when we were in Florida visiting Micah, which was down around Cape Canaveral, which mm-hmm. is one of the huge ports.
Oh, yeah.
One of the largest cruise ships ever. One of those Carnival great big ones that I see on the commercials now.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I saw that ship. It was docked. It was Aaron, unbelievable.
Oh, I rode one of those out of Manhattan a year or two ago. I don't know how long it was. It's a monster.
Yeah.
It's a monster. You can't see the whole ship the whole time. I was on there 10 days. I couldn't see everything.
Now,
it's crazy.
When you're on the ship, is it like, okay, you have second class ticket, okay, or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And your cabin is in. Can you access the whole ship, or are you limited to just your area?
No. You can access the whole ship. There are some VIP areas that have like a special hot tub and all that. That's for like the people that have the suites. They have a couple of suite areas where they can get into. They have a little spa area, but almost the entire ship is accessible to everyone.
And I would like to explore.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to go see.
Oh, yeah.
And like when we went to the Saints Cowboys game, was it last year? My daughter and I. And we had tickets in, I guess it was the visiting section because there were a lot of Saints fans mm-hmm. around us. But I couldn't go to any other of the levels.
Oh, yeah.
Or any other zones.
They've changed that at Tiger Stadium, too. You used to could move all around in Tiger Stadium. Now they don't let you do that. You're restricted to your area.
Okay.
I think until later in the game, and they might let people move down if everybody's
when you're
leaving.
Drunker, and yeah. then there's more.
And everybody's left. Yeah, you can move down right. so it looks crowded.
Yeah.
But yeah, it cruise ships are nice, and I'm looking forward to going on my next one. It's going to be exciting. I'm having fun.
A lot of live entertainment, like maybe the Little River Band.
We have them coming, by the way, and we have a pile of tickets to give away.
Yeah.
And I want you to start sending us messages right now on the Keel app. Easy to download if you don't have it. Just go to your app store and download the Keel app, and then you can message us right there on the app. A simple sentence or two why you want to go see the Little River Band coming to Live Casino.
That's all you have to do?
Yep. November 29th, and we're going to pick winners by next Wednesday and let you know you've won a pair of tickets.
We're letting Ruben dip his feet into there and pick it out with
yeah.
his toes again?
Let's do it with his seven toes he has left. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Tickets for the Little River Band. Download the free Keel app. Mike and McCarty. Coming up, we have rain on the way, and according to Richard Llewellyn, a lot of rain.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Flood potential.
We'll talk to him after the news, top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app. Mike and McCarty, looking at the extended forecast.
Uh-oh.
We still have some, well, tomorrow looks like last day of 80s, tomorrow.
And we're done with it?
According to the Weather Channel 10-day forecast.
Okay.
Thursday is, we're pushing the envelope, though, 79 and 79. Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
We're ready for fall, real fall, not a false fall like we had a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But we got rain on the way, don't we?
We got a lot of rain on the way. In fact, the Climate Prediction Center has hatched out in a huge area that runs from East Texas all the way up into the Mid-South. It's going to be looking at potential for some substantial rain coming up here that's going to basically start here with the system that will be coming in Thursday night into Friday. And we're just going to get system after system after system that's going to come in lasting next week all the way through Thanksgiving and beyond. We'll probably start off the month of December wet. And we are going to be looking at potential for some significant rainfall. We're going to go from the unusually dry conditions to possibly some significant rains that could lead to some flooding concerns as we move on toward the end of the month and into the first days of December.
You sent that map to us that does show the flooding concerns that is like right over Shreveport-Bossier. And that looks to be like for several days we could be dealing with it.
Yeah, I was looking at the American model just to kind of get an idea how many systems that are going to be impacting us. And there could be as many as seven or eight that roll across the area between now and the 15th of December of next month. So we are just going to be inundated with every other day starting probably Thursday and then going on after that. Thursday, Friday, we get a break Saturday. Rain comes back Saturday night. Rains through the end of the weekend into Tuesday of next week. We get a break on the busy travel day on Wednesday, and then it looks wet again as we look ahead to Thanksgiving. And it looks like we may try to cool off on Thanksgiving Day instead of temperatures in the 70s. Looks like some daytime highs in the 50s. So we may get a day of fall before we jump into winter. But that's gonna be about,
of course.
You know, but that's going to be about the extent of things. You know, we've got the winter outlook in front of us now. And which runs basically from December 1st to February 28th. And right now we see that the Arklatex is looking at temperatures above average with equal chances of precipitation. That means we could get, you know, what we normally get in the winter, or we could get a little bit more. The drought concerns are going to be for southern Louisiana, working on over into parts of the Florida Panhandle, South Georgia, and into the Carolinas. So we're kind of right there on the border of very dry conditions to, you know, where we're just going to get normal precipitation to just being all wet. So it's kind of one of those deals that it could be an interesting winter in regards to what we're going to see. I don't think this is going to be a big cold winter, but this is going to be one that we're going to be dealing with lots of rain, maybe some ice as we move on into the wintertime. So
Did you just say ice?
Yeah, we have to mention ice. You know, it's one of those deals. We have a chance of that every winter. You know, we have to mention, you know, the potential for icing and, you know, nasty travel conditions as we move into December, January, and February. They're always there here for the architects, and we have to mention that. So,
but that's not a problem because our drivers are well versed in ice driving around here.
Yeah, hey, you're preaching to the choir right here in regards to, you know, not being a good driver in winter weather at all.
Yeah,
you know,
our drivers are great driving into ditches, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Richard, we're talking about a lot of rain coming, but in the next several days, a few weeks, anything severe weather, or are we just looking at a lot of water?
You know, I think that there is that chance that we are probably going to see some severe weather in here. It's looking like there's going to be the possibility of some stronger storms as we look ahead to Monday of next week. And I think that's probably going to be our best chance to see that. Of course, that's kind of, you know, that's at the end of the 7-day outlook, you know, so it's one of those things we just kind of have to keep our eyes on as we look on further out. But I think there is going to be a lot of rain coming, not necessarily with a system coming in Thursday and Friday. You know, we mentioned 1 to 3 inches. It looks like the heavier rains are going to probably be north and west of the arc of Shreveport and Bossier, you know, Texarkana down into northeast Texas. I think the heavier rains are going to set up there. But the next one that comes in after that, I think if we're going to get any chance for severe weather, it's going to be sometime between Sunday and Tuesday of next week.
Okay, you say 1 to 3 inches of rain Thursday, Friday, and more coming next week. How does this stack up with regard to our rainfall totals for the year? We've been really dry for a while.
Yeah, we have been really dry for a while, and a lot of locations, you know, across Louisiana have been dealing with the ongoing drought concerns. We need this rain. You know, we just don't need too much of it at one time to, you know, kind of knock down the overall drought concerns. I think southern Louisiana, they're not going to get much help at all. You know, you get down toward Alexandria, you know, the I-10 corridor, Lake Charles, Lafayette, those areas, they're not going to get much help at all from, you know, they need a lot of rain to dig them out of the drought. I think we have a better chance here in Shreveport and along the I-20 corridor to dig out of the drought before they do. So, you know, I think this is going to be one of these deals. We're going to just chip away at it. We're going to get a lot of rain in the weeks ahead, so be ready.
Looking a little bit further south, because I'm thinking about the crawfish industry. Alec, in points south from there, are they going to get enough rain to salvage the crawfish season?
No, and I don't think they're going to get much of anything at all. In fact, if you look at the outlook from Climate Prediction Center, I mean, you know, well below normal precipitation. And usually if that's what we're going to be dealing with well below precipitation, the crawfish industry may be in trouble again as we look on out further and further into 2026.
I don't like to hear that.
Yeah, because this is going to be bad. I think the worst of the drought is going to be basically from Destin and Panama City into South Georgia and working up into South Carolina. Peanuts and cotton in those areas are going to be dealing with it. Later, they're already starting to deal with it now, but I think for southern Louisiana, this is going to be some bad news for the, you know, for the crawfish farmers for sure.
One more thing, review the temps that are ahead, because I, quite frankly, Richard, I'm a little tired of Mike coming in here in his Speedo. So are we going to be cooling off soon?
No, we will stay in the 80s here through Thursday, maybe Friday. I think Friday's kind of one of those days where we could hit 80, but we're calling for 79 right now. Weekend, we're in the upper 70s, stay in the 70s until Monday. We drop to near 70 Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the real cool weather holds off until Thanksgiving Day, when temperatures will drop into the 50s and nighttime lows will be in the 30s.
All right. Okay, I'm looking forward to it. We need the rain, definitely.
We absolutely need the rain, and, you know, we just don't need too much at one time.
Richard, thank you for jumping on with us. We always appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you, too.
Take
Mikey
care.
McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. By the way, could LSU make Shreveport the Independence Bowl? We'll talk about that this morning. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Now, I did see reports where Ole Miss not happy with Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss says, look, buddy.
Yeah.
You got a 10-year deal here.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going off to visit LSU. You're going off talking to Florida, sending your family to Baton Rouge to look around.
I find it interesting that the kids went with their mom, and who is his ex-wife. I don't send my children to a community with my ex,
right,
unless I'm really serious about it.
Well, sure.
Like, hey, check out the schools. Go look at, you know, houses. Go see what, you know, what you would like. That for me would be, you know, but again, I'm told they also went to visit Florida.
Right.
So we don't know any of this is true. I saw somebody who was actually camping out at the Baton Rouge airport and had video of his plane leaving with his kids on it. And
right.
I thought, golly.
Well, it was reported that they did visit.
Yes, it actually was. And I don't know. LSU's in a corner. And what'd you say before the break about LSU and the Independence Bowl? Seriously?
We'll talk about that coming up. Well, I mean, what are they, 6-5 now? I mean, they're bowl eligible.
Yeah.
It's a far cry from the beginning of the season when at one point we were ranked number 3 in the country. And now look where we are.
Yeah.
With a second string quarterback and no coach. And
that quarterback position this weekend is a tough one because Garrett's going to be ready. And the coach isn't saying who's going to be his guy.
Right.
Like, this is Garrett's last year, right? I mean, isn't he done? I don't think he's got any more eligibility.
I don't think so.
It's like, man.
And do you think he goes into the draft?
Well, he has no more eligibility. Yeah, but
no,
will
but
he
I
get
mean,
picked? Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. He was going to be the Heisman winner as we were going into this
Heisman
year.
Candidate.
What a horrible thing for him. He's like way up there, first round. Now he's hopeful, you know.
Right.
Or what's he going to go do now? Coach, I don't know.
Well, because the fact that he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
That's a problem. That's a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
In your NFL stock.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But we did talk about LSU and where are they going to land? And I did reach out to Missy Setters, the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl director.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me an interesting scenario, and we'll talk about that after the news. Bottom of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. LSU will be playing in the Tidy Bowl this year.
Oh, that's not nice. That's not nice. By the way, if you want to see the Little River Band a week from Saturday,
yes,
live casino, message us on the message board. It's on the Keel app. And you just hit the little message button and send us a message why you want to go. And Wednesday of next week, we'll be picking our winners.
I'd love to see the Little River Band because when I was a teenager, I had the cassette tape and listened all the time. Such good memories.
Oh, that's cool.
I actually saw the Little River Band in concert at Texas Jam.
Really?
In like 1976.
Okay.
It was Steve Miller Band. How
Ooh,
cool is this?
Wow.
Fleetwood Mac.
Holy cow.
Bob Welch. The Little River Band. Yeah, it was a full day
Man.
At the Cotton Bowl Stadium.
Oh. Boy, those were the days when you could hang out for a whole day and just listen to all kind of band after band.
It was 180 degrees on the because we were down
care.
On the field. Oh, no.
We didn't care. We were drinking and having a good old time.
It was 1976. It was a different era.
Yeah. I bet there was a little sniff in the air, too, probably, huh?
We were the only ones. It was my best friend at the time, he and I. And I think we were maybe juniors in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And we were the only ones not smoking something.
I'll never forget my first concert ever. This is so funny. Was the Doobie Brothers.
Oh.
And my brothers took me. And I'll never forget looking at them and going, what does that smell?
Yeah.
And they were like, I don't know what you're smelling. Yeah, I don't know what you're smelling.
And another moment that I remembered, 1976. I looked over and there was a dude, and then these were the cutoff shorts days, the jeans.
Oh yeah,
no shirt.
Yeah,
frayed at the bottom. Mm-hmm. The hippies. It was still, and a guy was hitting a girl in the head with a Coke bottle.
Oh.
And in those days, the 2 liter Coke bottles were glass.
Yes,
like. Shaped like the Coca-Cola.
Did somebody jump in and beat his?
Freaked me out. That was the very first plastic 2 liter Coke bottle.
Okay.
I'd ever seen. They just come out.
Mm.
And he was bopping her on the head with that.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
Let's go kick his.
Yeah. No, it's plastic. Oh.
That's crazy.
It was fun.
Oh,
fun
boy.
Times.
Mm-hmm.
Little River Band.
Yes.
So you have it. They're still touring to this day.
Absolutely.
So is Steve Miller, I believe.
I think you're right.
So much fun. Send us your message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board if you want to go see them. We've got tickets. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Okay, I did reach out to Missy Setters, and she was unable to join us this morning. She will tomorrow, but she did send me what she thought the scenario might be, because LSU's dropped so precipitously.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they are bowl eligible.
Yep.
But she said, I don't see a scenario for LSU getting to Shreveport. You never know.
Yeah.
She goes, but we aren't tied in with the SEC. But more importantly, because of the number of bowl partners the SEC does have, which is 10 plus the playoff, the number of teams they will likely get into the playoff, the conference may not fill all of their bowl partners.
Hmm.
So they're going to maybe have trouble just getting their own bowls that they have conference affiliations with.
Yeah.
She said LSU will probably end up going to Charlotte, Memphis, Nashville, Houston, or Tampa.
Okay.
And she says that's a guess, of course.
We're 6-4. After this weekend, we hope 7-4. Which, when you really, in the big scheme of things, 7-4 is not horrid. For LSU fans, it is. For diehard LSU fans, it is.
Well, sure.
Especially when it's 3-4 in the conference.
Our bar is so high.
Right.
We're expecting conference championships and national championships.
We don't like losing to Ole Miss and Vanderbilt.
And then I saw a story that was talking about, of course, Lane Kiffin, and this said, Ole Miss 10-1 has a 90% chance of making the playoffs. I'm like, mm-hmm. Good Lord, you're 10-1 and you're talking about a percentage of making the playoffs.
Right.
And so we're 6-4.
Yeah.
No playoff hope, but just bowl eligible.
Right. Exactly. There's still a bunch of undefeated teams is the problem. You got Indiana. Ohio State, they're undefeated.
Right.
They're in. They're gone. I mean, there's no getting them out of there. And they're Ohio State's a great football team. I mean, if you've watched them, holy cow. I don't see who beats them. I mean, I hate to say that. There's a lot of people that hate Ohio State. Excuse me, the Ohio State.
See, I have an affinity for Ohio State.
Do
because
you?
My mom was born in Columbus.
She's
from there. So, yeah, I kind of pull for the Buckeyes. Of course, not when they're playing LSU.
Right, exactly. A&M, or undefeated. Or, so, you know, they're in.
Oh, A&M. Oh, my gosh.
They're
Aaron,
strong, too.
Aaron, you're 30 points down, and you come back and win that game?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It's a strong squad. That's a strong squad. I hope they don't have to meet Ohio State anywhere early on. But the problem with A&M is they probably go to the SEC championship game, and somebody like a Georgia or an Alabama could beat them, which could knock them out of getting that, you know, that bye in the first round. And they, I don't know. I hope they don't end up having to meet Ohio State too early. And I don't know all the ins and outs of how the stacking goes. I know the top four seeds get a bye, and so they don't have to play in the first round, and they wait for the next weekend or whatever it is. But we'll go to a bowl game. Will a crowd follow them? Yeah, LSU brings a lot of people.
LSU travels well.
They do. They'll do fine.
Yes.
So we'll see. I'm curious who's coming to the Independence Bowl, and we'll talk to Missy about that tomorrow.
Tomorrow. She will join us tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour.
Who's she scouting?
Looking for, I know, yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting.
You bet.
There is talk. Residents are not happy at the around the Shreveport Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
Possible gas drilling.
Yes.
On the site.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you going to do with it? It's 200 acres? Is that what?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that later this morning as well. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Oh, this message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Of course I want to see the Little River Band. P.S. First concert I ever saw was Chicago.
Nice.
My older sister and her friend, to me and her younger, we stayed behind until the band came out to leave in the limo. James Pankow signed my ticket, and she still has it.
Wow, that's cool. That is so cool.
The thing that makes me sad about that is I saw the very last Eagles concert with Glenn Frey.
You bet, here.
No ticket stub.
No ticket stub, I know.
No ticket stub.
There's no tickets anymore.
You go up and go, will you sign my phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't have ticket stubs anymore. Ruben, you said you've got ticket stubs going back.
Oh, yeah, a long, long time. I've been going to shows since I was a little kid, from ZZ Top to Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Revel, even the Revel had ticket stubs.
And you saved every ticket stub.
I have them. They're in a little sandwich bag.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
It's funny when people post Queen, Hirsch Memorial Coliseum, 19, so whatever.
Yeah.
$8.
Right. Oh, do they have prices on them?
I'll have to look. Yeah.
I want to see sure that. That would prices. Be interesting.
Yeah, a lot of them are from the 90s, so that would be interesting to see.
Ticket prices. Have ticket prices changed. Goodness.
And now people are paying, what, $8,000 to see Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
I don't get it.
We are giving away tickets to the Little River Band, by the way, if you haven't heard. All you have to do is download the Kiel app. It's easy to download. We're not going to inundate you with all kind of junk. Just going to give you a message. You can hit the message board up, send us a message why you want to see the Little River Band. Next week on Wednesday, we will announce the winners, and you'll be on your way to see them on the 29th at Live Casino. It's going to be a good show.
It is at Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
You bet.
I told you I saw them in 76, so that was fun.
Yeah. I have never seen the Little River Band that I know of.
Have you heard about the lonesome?
And happy anniversary. Oh, sorry. Ruben, I'm sorry. You're not supposed to allow me to sing, remember?
Singing, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Singing is forbidden. Micah McCarty, I'm glad we don't have the cameras. I will say that.
Can we?
I'm glad we don't have the cameras.
Can we, after 8 o'clock, and I don't want to do anything harmful to the state fair, but I want to talk about a great run of weather, but people are really torqued about a few things.
Sure.
They really are.
We'll find out. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Well, they did reach out to Russell Adams from the State Fair of Louisiana to find out final numbers. We think that they had to have had a great year. Just beautiful weather for the entire run of the fair.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have had a really good year. So we'll hope to get in touch with him this week and find out how they did. But there are some people that weren't happy with some of the prices.
Yeah, that, if I had to tell you, the only negative thing I heard about the fair was the food prices.
And isn't that a good thing?
You know, you got a point.
Isn't that a good thing that that's what we're complaining about?
And you're right about that, because it was expensive to bring a family. If you have four kids and a mom and a dad, it was pricey. It was $17 for general admission. It was $38 for a ride wristband. And if you paid $38 for a ride wristband, shame on you for not planning, because if you bought it ahead of time, you saved at least $10 on that. And I know some people went to the fair, spur of the moment, hey, let's go to the fair. Mm-hmm. And so you buy that $38 wristband. The one that was killing me was the $20 turkey leg. And I thought, turkey legs are good. They ain't that good.
No.
I'm not paying $20 for a turkey leg. $9 for a soda. Beer was at least $10.
But those are independent vendors, aren't they?
Yeah, and the fair doesn't control those prices.
The fair doesn't set those prices.
And so I went and looked this morning to see what were other fairs charging for these similar items. Let's just start with our buddies in Texas. You better get a bank loan if you want to go to the Texas State Fair with four kids.
Now, parking at the State Fair of Louisiana was free.
Free.
But
$30 in Texas.
Wow.
$30 to park your car.
Just to get on property.
Just to get on the property.
That's before you even get out of the car to go to the fair.
A turkey leg at the Texas State Fair, $25 for that turkey leg over there. I guess it's a bigger one in Texas. I guess they have bigger turkeys. I don't know. And the Texas State Fair, there's no all-you-can-ride pass.
Right.
It's $1 per coupon. And I'm looking at the rides, even the little kiddie rides were like 8 coupons.
And so, if you bring more than one child.
Yes.
And that wants to ride more than one ride.
Mm-hmm.
There's your all you can ride coupon right there.
Oh, absolutely.
On two rides
two
for
rides,
two kids.
You're toast. You're absolutely. Pizza slice, $9 in Texas. Sausage on a stick was $15 in Texas. This one kills me. A $14 corn dog. $14 corn dog. Florida State Fair charges $11 for their corn dogs. Now, that was earlier this year, so their fair is coming up in the spring. It may be, and prices may be going up. So when you're griping about the prices, just think about ours was not nearly as bad as some others. And prices have gone up, folks. I mean, they just have. And they, you know, turkey legs aren't going to be $10 or $12 anymore.
One of the comments on a Facebook post about the fair says, this is the first year I'll say the wristbands were worth the $38 because there were so many rides for the little kids and, as usual, the older children as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rides.
And I would just urge people, plan for the fair.
Right.
Budget for the fair. And buy those tickets early. Buy those wristbands early from Brookshire's or Super One.
You can get discount tickets. Yeah,
you
Brookshire's.
You get them $10 off.
Right.
Yeah, and there's lots of people giving away State Fair gate admission tickets. Just look around for that. Do a little searching and a little work and save yourself some money. I know a family who goes to the fair, and I don't understand this, but they make sure they go eat first. They go to like a pizza buffet first, and they eat, and then they go to the fair. So they don't have to eat at the fair.
But the fair food.
I want a corn dog. I want, you know.
The first elephant ear I ever had was, I remember that at the state fair. Wow.
Oh, I will never forget my
father. Do they
father,
still do elephant ears, Ruben? Do you
I'm
know?
Not sure. I'll never forget my father's face. Now, mind you, I'm at the state fair with Dad. Dad gave Mom the night off. Dad takes 6 kids to the fair, okay? And we weren't ultra rich. We did okay. We weren't ultra rich. So I'm sure Dad was budgeting and everything. And I'll never forget, after I got my funnel cake, I turned and one of my brothers was running toward us and bumped me and my funnel cake on the ground. Of course, I start crying. My funnel cake is down and my daddy looks at me.
She was 17 too.
No, I was not. I was probably 7. And my daddy looks at me and, of course, he was a little bit perturbed at my brother. But he goes, "Don't worry, baby. We're going to get you another one." And I'm like, "Okay." I think he made my brother eat the one off the ground. But I saw that look in my dad's face. "We got you. Don't worry about it. We got it."
But see, look what you just... Memories.
Yes.
Family memories.
Absolutely.
I have memories of my grandmother taking 6 of us grandkids to the fair.
Yes. Absolutely.
And we loved it.
I'm still sitting on the tilt-a-whirl. My daddy's on the far end. My brothers are all with us. And I'm sitting next to Daddy, and he's squeezing me as tight as he can. And my brothers are all trying to swing the cart to make it circle. I'll never forget that.
Right.
I see a tilt-a-whirl, and I tear up. Aww. One more tilt-a-whirl ride with my daddy. Oh, my gosh. Oh, the memories. And that was the Baton Rouge State Fair. It was not nearly as big as ours here. It was not.
Really?
Yeah, it's not as big. Definitely not. This is the big one. You know, we have the big one. We got to be proud of that. We got to be proud of it. It's a big deal. So
we'll hopefully get in touch with Russell and find out figures. I am very curious to see how
many came through the gate.
How they did without any rain. Rain.
God, that was a great run. Great run.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
They do still have elephant ears, by the way.
Do they?
Yep, they still have the elephant
ears. Okay, elephant ears and funnel cakes. What's the difference?
Elephant ear is more of a Indian fry bread.
Okay.
Funnel cake is a different kind of batter.
Ah, okay. I love a funnel cake.
Well, who doesn't love a funnel cake?
But I haven't had a funnel cake in, gosh, so long.
We split one at the Rebel.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. My wife was like, "Can I get a funnel cake?" I'm like, "Do I want to breathe? What are you asking me that for?"
That's crazy. That is crazy. Ruben, did you end up going to the fair or no? Did you make it down there?
I missed it this year. I gave my passes to somebody else, but yeah, I did not.
I was seeing a friend who went and took 3 kids with him, he and his wife, and 3 kids, and he said it cost him $500. That's the thing. You hit the nail on the head, Mike, when you said it's the memories. Forget about the money. You know you're going to spend money. Budget for it, plan for it, and go out and make memories.
Some of my greatest memories growing up are from the fair.
Oh, my gosh.
My cousins, my grandmother taking us all out there.
Yes.
Buddies, when I was in high school, we would go out to the fair on the weekends.
Right.
I almost got a tattoo 1 year at the fair. Uh-oh. They used to have, I don't guess they still do, they used to have a trailer set up someplace out there.
Oh, wow.
And you could get a tattoo, and they had all the things out on the side, but they had a sign that said, "Must be 18 and sober."
You weren't neither.
And I was neither.
Did they have the, I didn't so I see them. Tattoo. Did they have the helicopter rides again this year or no? I didn't see them. You know,
I used to get on 1 year.
Did you?
It was awesome.
Oh, that looks so scary. They look like a little Cracker Jack box.
When I was at KW in the studio right behind you here, and I took the MARTI unit up in the helicopter and broadcast live from over the fair.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much fun. And I get motion sickness, and I was a little worried. I don't know, but it was so fun. I didn't even get sick.
I had the same experience that you did. I may have shared this with you already. Ruben, you know about it probably. But we went and broadcast our show one morning from the state fair, opening day or whatever it was.
I wish we'd do that.
And we went to to the top of the Ferris wheel. I'm a daredevil. I'll do anything. So we go to the top of the Ferris wheel with the MARTI unit, the whole shebang. Right? You know, you're carrying your gear up there.
Now, a MARTI unit, for those that don't know, it's the size of a suitcase maybe, and yeah, it's a broadcast unit that sends the signal to the tower.
Right. And then back to the studio. Yeah, right. Exactly. And we get on the Ferris wheel, and just as we're starting to creep around and start to go up, your old pal Robert J. Wright looks at me. He goes, "Have I told you I'm scared of heights?" And I'm like, no, you haven't. You know this goes pretty high, bud.
You should have mentioned that before we got up here.
And he's like, "We're not going to stop up there, are we?" I said, "That's the whole object. We're going to stop at the top and describe what we're seeing. That's the game plan here, bud." And he starts, I mean, I literally thought he was going to cry.
Starts freaking out.
He starts to freak out, and he wasn't playing.
Right.
And
right,
he's holding on for dear life. His fingers are turning blue. We get to the top. You know what I did, of course.
No, start, yes.
I start rocking the car. He starts crying. He was like a baby. "You're going to stop. You're going to stop." He couldn't broadcast from up there. He was scared to death.
Oh,
it was
my.
funny. But I did not, you know, you don't know things about people until sometimes you put them in moments when they're like, "Oh, he was scared to death." We had to get him down.
I did find out one year that when you're on a ride that spins and spins you upside down and tumbles you all around, the more you scream to stop the ride, the more those guys love
faster,
it and
faster,
get you going faster.
I like the one, is it Centrifuge, which pins you up against the wall?
Yes.
I love that ride. But you
and
cannot,
then they drop the floor out from under
yes,
you?
Yes, but you cannot go on that ride without somebody not doing well. Let's just leave it at that.
Throwing up?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but there's always somebody that can't make that. Like, you know that's going to happen to you. Don't get on that damn ride.
Okay, well, I don't because, yes, I'm not the one you're talking about. I promise you.
It was every time. And you don't want to be on a spinning ride when that has happened.
I was a teenager at the Minden Fair, and there was a guy running the Gravitron. He called himself Chong. And
oh, boy.
He started the Gravitron. And he yells out, "All right, now it's Chong's turn." And he walks out onto the spinning Gravitron from the center, gets up against the wall, and stands on the wall with it spinning around like he's standing.
Oh, standing horizontal like.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And he's just going, "Yeah." And and he casually steps down and gets back into the little booth and stops the ride. It was the craziest thing I had ever seen.
He came straight to the fair from the liquor store, didn't he?
I don't know where this guy came from.
That's crazy.
Awesome. And I also remember the motorcycles in the cage, in the big.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they have a ball, but they also used to be in a big, like a big drum.
Mm-hmm.
And they would ride.
Two of them, how do they do that?
And you'd be up at the top looking down, and they're in that.
I never understood that.
So cool.
Never crashed. They never crashed. I was amazed. The State Fair has so many great memories. No doubt about it. No doubt. And I'm sure they had a record run this year. I would love to see the numbers.
We're going to talk about possible bowl game matchups. I think Greg Adams is going to join us.
Who would we like to see come here?
Be interesting. We'll have Missy Setters tomorrow, but here in about 10 minutes, Greg Adams is going to join us. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, college football
wrapping up. For the year.
It just flies by.
It really does. It's one of the fastest seasons. Mm-hmm. Even F1 doesn't go by this fast.
Yeah. Who will look better in purple and gold, Kiffin or Saban?
Oh, Saban.
I wonder. Saban?
Yeah.
He's probably got some of it still.
I would think.
Maybe. I don't know.
Although, I don't know, after all those years in Alabama.
Yeah. Who's coming to the Independence Bowl?
We'll find out. Well, we'll find out who they're looking at tomorrow with Missy Setters. But Greg Adams joining us right after the break. Let's maybe do a little bowl breakdown. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Greg Adams in studio. Mike and McCarty, you're the, it's not program director anymore. It's, what's the titles
O-M.
Now?
Look, I don't know. I really don't.
Over our sports station.
Yeah,
here.
Years ago, it was brand manager, sports
brand
director.
Brand manager. Yeah, there you go.
I really honestly don't know anymore.
You follow sports big.
Yeah,
you're watching the Independence Bowl. You will be there front and center.
Yep, I'll either be there or it'll be on TV when I'm with the in-laws.
What are we looking at? Well, first the conferences. Who are our conferences we have to affiliate with?
Yeah, it's been really confusing, especially with the national media this year. But the two conference tie-ins are the Big 12 and Conference USA. There is a backup agreement with the Sun Belt Conference, but that's it. There's no former Pac-12 schools, if this and that, and all of this other stuff. All of that is done. All the conference realignment confusion has ended as of last year. So right now, it's Big 12, it's Conference USA. If one of those two teams can't fill their spot, it is the Sun Belt.
From the Big 12, who are we looking at?
So the Big 12 is going to be really interesting because the college football playoff could include more than one Big 12 team. Right now, Texas Tech seems like they're going to be pretty much a lock for the playoffs. If that happens, they go out of the bowl rotation. We get the sixth out of the Big 12 teams.
Okay.
So we have to have at least seven Big 12 teams qualify with six wins to be bowl eligible if just Texas Tech goes. BYU and Utah both could potentially find their way into the playoff picture as well. If you got three teams coming out, that means we need at least nine bowl eligible. I think as of last week, we got to that nine number.
Okay.
So we are looking at somebody from the Big 12 might not need to worry about the Sun Belt, but that means we're going to be looking at a team that's like a six-win team from the Big 12.
Okay, some names?
Probably Kansas, Baylor. TCU would be a good option, but I think they might have too many wins.
Baylor would be a good option for this area.
Probably.
A lot of Baylor folk.
You bet.
Kansas State and Iowa State are also in the mix. But you have to... You have to hope that some of these teams get to six wins because some of them are sitting at 5-5 right now. So they have work to still do if they're going to qualify.
The SEC may have trouble filling their 10 bowl obligation.
When the playoffs start taking teams outside of, like in the SEC, if they lose two or three teams, now you have two or three teams that are not in bowl rotation. And if you have 8-10 bowl agreements, you're not going to have 8-10 teams. So you're going to have to do at-large bids or backup plans on some of those. So
it's the playoff that is affecting the bowls.
And the larger the playoff gets, the more of those teams go out of the bowl rotation. I wish they would have done something years ago where like the Independence Bowl should be a first-round playoff game. And they should just
make
treat it like that.
Make the bowl games part of the playoffs.
Yeah, make all bowl games like a first-round playoff, neutral site. They come to the bowl game. They play that. Then next week, the winners go to the next level of bowl games, and it all works up to the national championship game. That just seems to make too much sense.
Okay, from the Conference USA, who are the teams we're looking at?
So Conference USA is an interesting scenario because they don't have a list the same way. Like, it's not going to be the fifth team or the second team. It's going to be who Conference USA and the bowl send, who they agree to. Now, the conference has their own interests in this because when a conference like Conference USA is going to be taking on the Big 12, they want to win. They want the feather in their cap.
Sure.
So their best interest is to send their team that has the best chance to beat a Big 12 team. So you're looking at the top of their conference, like a Jacksonville State, a Western Kentucky, or maybe even a Kennesaw State, one of the best stories in college football this year. But that's not ideal for Shreveport and the interests of the bowl game.
Sure.
So this is where competing interests take place. Louisiana Tech would make the most sense for Shreveport. Now, they did play last year, but last year was an anomaly.
Yeah, exactly.
It was they didn't have enough wins to qualify, but Marshall dropped out because they're sissies and
they didn't have enough players, they claim.
Whatever. Marshall should just disband their football program.
Oh.
interestingly enough, if we have to use that backup agreement into the Sun Belt, Marshall is at like 5 wins. No. They could be at 6 wins. They could be an eligible team, but that would be hilarious. Ideally, locally, we want Louisiana.
It would be funny if they ended up having to come back.
We want Louisiana Tech back. It was a, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back type situation. Last year, we got you into a bowl game. We got all that stuff. So now this year, you're a better team. You got the wins to qualify. We would like to have you back. And if it's like Baylor or TCU versus
that'd
Louisiana
be awesome.
Tech, that's two regional teams.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be great.
But you could also end up with Iowa State versus Missouri State. Iowa State versus Delaware. Like, there's so many variables when it comes to the Conference USA
even
side.
Even if you get a matchup like that, it's like, these are teams you'll never see. It's a fun, still fun thing to go and watch programs.
To be with all 30 other people that are there.
It definitely benefits. It definitely benefits the region to have semi-local teams.
Yeah.
And Louisiana Tech, it benefits everybody involved to have Louisiana Tech in the game. It's like the Hawaii Bowl. Hawaii plays in the Hawaii Bowl. Why? Because of travel.
Yeah.
But it helps them with their bowl.
They have to get new buses every year when they try to go to a bowl game.
Ideally, our best case scenario, I think, would be TCU, Louisiana Tech.
That would be awesome. And when's the game?
It is December 30th. It is an early afternoon kickoff.
All right. Even a TCU Baylor.
Yeah. Well, that can't have that.
Can't happen. Can't have
that's
two.
True. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
All right. Kiffin or Saban? I want to find out what that's going to be next.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Beck, Mike, and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, we tied Greg to the chair. I got to hear his take on Lane Kiffin's kids and ex-wife making a trip to Baton Rouge. What's that all about?
Leverage.
Okay,
I mean, if you are
leverage
negotiating
on behalf of LSU.
No. It's his own leverage.
To get more from Ole Miss.
If he's negotiating with Ole Miss or Florida or Penn State, and they don't think that he is going anywhere else, why would they offer him more money? Now, if you introduce LSU into the mix and you're the AD and the president of Florida and you really want Lane Kiffin, now we got to compete with LSU money. Let's get out ahead of this. Here's $16 million a year. Like, he's going to leverage everybody against everybody, or at least his agent is. And that's just a ploy to do that. I don't think there's a snowball's chance that he ends up at LSU.
Why not? What's the problem at LSU? Is it the governor's involvement?
Which part?
Yeah, that's the problem.
There's a ton of issues. The governor's involvement, the situation with you have 18 months to win a national championship or else you're gone. Like, if you look at what just happened at LSU with the winningest coach in college football, and he was given a very short leash and unceremoniously ejected. And now they're fighting to pay him. If I'm a coach.
But I also heard that he had lost his passion even before he left Notre Dame.
Yeah,
he only
probably
took this job as a money grab.
100%.
He spent more money on the golf course than he did in meetings with his coaches or players.
And that's probably 100% true. But if I'm a coach looking at it from the outside and I see a guy who was given 18 months to win a national championship and he didn't do it and now he's gone and now they're fighting to pay him the money they agreed to plus the governor's involvement. And then I'm looking over at Florida who has the same piggy bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave Billy Napier chance after chance after chance to try and just win a game so we can keep you.
Yeah.
The loyalty shown by Florida was substantially greater than what LSU has just went through. And you've got two programs right now who are just as prestigious and have just as deep of pockets between Penn State and Florida who are competing with LSU for a coach. And I really don't even know why LSU is targeting the next big hot thing.
Right. Any chance it's Saban or Kiffin?
You can never say never. If somebody rolled up on LSU, some big crazy donor that we're not aware of, and they said, you got $50 million over 2 years to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
But even if I'm Nick Saban, I don't know why I'm doing that. Like, you're going out right now.
Yeah.
You're on top.
Nick Saban,
You can't. The only thing you can do is ruin your legacy by coming back.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
Like Michael Jordan trying to trying to hang on too
with
long.
The Wizards. Yeah, that was.
Is Coach O going to get another gig? I'm seeing that he might.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely going to get another gig.
Really?
Yeah, that's he's going to coach, and Coach O is actually a great example of why LSU shouldn't be looking at a guy like Lane Kiffin. If you look at the folks who have won national championships, you took Nick Saban from Michigan State University, not a prestigious job, not like the top hot candidate. Les Miles was what? Oklahoma State, not a prestigious gig, mm-hmm. not a national championship contender. Ed Ogeron was a retread at the hire. Those are the three guys that have brought you national championships. Yeah. You haven't had a big name splash hot coaching candidate that has won you a natty. You've had hungry guys who are trying to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. And right now, that's what you should be looking for, whether it's somebody who's already on the staff or whether it's a John Summerall at Tulane. Or you got to go, Joe Brady, I don't think is the guy, but everyone loves the idea of Joe Brady. Never had a head coaching job. That's why I don't think he's the right guy. But that's what you do need to look for, is somebody who's young and hungry.
Wow.
And goes against what you said with Brian Kelly. He just showed up for a payday and hit that's the golf course.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Good stuff.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks.
Mrs. Heather's tomorrow. We'll get some inside scoop as well. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.